The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
Hey, I'm Christian Sager.
Christian, what comes to mind when I mention the word spite, when I mention spite as an aspect of human behavior?
Well, the very first thing I thought of when we started talking about doing this episode was a scene in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, when Khan, spoilers for a movie that's like 30 years old, when Khan is dying, but he decides that he's going to, you know, take himself out along with the Enterprise, and he recites the whole speech, Captain Ahab's speech,
oh, yes,
from Moby Dick, which, you know, the two parallel pretty well together. So I think of Khan Noonien Singh when I think of spite.
Okay, well, yeah, I think Khan is definitely a very spiteful character, because ultimately he ends up in a situation where he can't win.
Right.
And he could bow out gracefully, but Khan's not going to do that.
Right.
There's too much pride, there's too much ego there. He's laying it all on the line, so he'd rather strike back and perish and get, like, just to, you know, raise the middle finger to Kirk rather than just go out.
Yeah, this is definitely the core of trying to figure out spite, not just, like, how it works psychologically in our human minds, but also like our definition of it. When you go and you look it up on the dictionary, it doesn't really include or encapsulate how we think of it, right?
Yeah, because some of the studies that we get into, well, one in particular talks about spite and says, in general, spite differs from aggression, which can be exercised at little risk to an aggressor. Spite carries a cost, as if one were calculating that a loss is worthwhile if it takes a toll on one's opponent as well. But you don't necessarily see that in, you know, your standard Webster's dictionary.
Right. Yeah. So the idea here is that you are willing to hurt yourself at the expense of being able to hurt someone else.
Right. And that hurt is not necessarily physical. Like the most extreme example that comes to a lot of people's minds, I'm sure, is something like a suicide bomber.
Yeah.
You know, where they're saying, I will die violently in this cause to cause harm to others. But then also something, you know, spite that we've all probably experienced on one side or the other. If you've ever taken your time pulling out of a parking spot because you don't like the look of that car or that driver that's waiting on it. Maybe they're being a little rude.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, the cost is not nearly as high as losing your life, but you are willing to look a little bit like a jerk in order to make sure that person gets what's coming to them.
Yeah. So it makes me think of like methods of conflict management. And there's several different ways that you can manage conflict. But this would be what's called the competitive method of conflict management, right? Where you're basically competing against another person to win in a conflict, right? And in this situation, you're not even winning. It's a lose-lose.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody loses.
Yeah. Like actually your whole goal here in leaving the parking lot is to leave the parking lot and presumably get where you're going next, in the shortest amount of time, that's required.
Yeah.
So you're hurting your own objectives. You're looking like a jerk doing it. There's really no benefit other than you feel that, you know, that ego stroke and some sort of deep animalistic, pride in having, you know, put one over on the next guy.
It's not an effective method of problem solving, that's for sure. But it's something that I think is within all of us. I have to admit that as we were researching this, I was really digging deep inside myself, trying to remember examples where I'd been spiteful. And I couldn't.
Really?
And I'm sure I have been.
Even the mild stuff, like driving around?
I am an angry driver, but not a spiteful driver. It wouldn't be like that, but the only thing I could think of as like a practical example of is if there's somebody who I personally don't like, I won't support their work, like whether it's a book that they wrote or a film that they produced or acted in or whatever. Even if people are like, you have to see this, it is the best thing ever. You know, it's going to change your life. It's the best storytelling. And I go, nope, I don't want to give that person my $10.
Okay. Well, then the cost there could be
my own edification.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Well, you're missing out on the potential joys of this product because of the vendetta, if you will.
Well, what it reminds me of is, you ever read the police blotter in Creative Loafing here in Atlanta?
Yeah.
I think that they have this in a lot of alt weeklies around the world, but here in Atlanta, our alt weekly does this thing where they take, I don't know, every week there's like maybe five or six little snippets out of the actual Atlanta Police Department's log. And of just the craziest stories. And almost always, every week, there's one story that involves spite in some way. It's somebody who's doing something illegal or something to hurt another person that ultimately ends up getting them arrested, right?
Yeah.
And they're always completely whacked out crazy stories. Some of my favorites involve just like, you know, people, wearing half naked, scrambling down the streets and screaming in the middle of the night, but, that's not exactly spiteful. That's just, you know, crazy.
Yeah. And you certainly see it show up too at times with police encounters where someone, decides that the best thing they can do during this encounter is to be spiteful to the officer.
That's an interesting thing that it brings out. Law enforcement seems to bring spite out in people.
On both sides. I mean, not to imply there's never some spite from the police.
No, absolutely. Let's have some fun with this for a second.
Okay.
So, Dungeons and Dragons alignment chart. You know, for those of you out there, you know that Robert and I are really into geeky stuff like this. So, where's spite fall? I'm thinking it's neutral evil. It's not necessarily chaotic. There's determination to it. Obviously, it doesn't follow a rule-oriented, practice.
Yeah, I think lawful evil is probably where most of your spite's going to fall.
But
in that, we definitely have to think about some of the spiteful characters we've encountered in things. Like when I was trying to think of some, in addition to Ahab and Khan, Cersei Lannister comes to mind from Game of Thrones as being a very spiteful, character who, you know, she has some key values, you know, the importance of her family and the importance of her family.
Mm-hmm.
But she's often willing to jeopardize all of it out of spite for an enemy or a perceived enemy. So where would Cersei land in the Dungeons and Dragons alignment chart? Is she
that's
lawful evil?
I guess you would have to say she's lawful evil. Because she works within the system of rule.
Yeah.
Right? That's interesting.
Another one that came to mind, and this one's a much harder one to nail down because there's, you know, a lot of a lot of its motivations are still up for discussion and continue to be an item of discussion among critics. But Iago in Shakespeare's Othello.
Okay, yeah, I saw this. Give me a little refresher on this because it's been a while since I've read Othello.
Well, basically, Iago is the character that just works against Othello the whole time.
Yeah.
And just really kind of ruthlessly. But you never really have a clear sense why. Like,
right.
There's not a situation where it's like, oh, Othello killed my father. Generally it's to try and figure out why Iago is so obsessed with taking down Othello. You have to, apply some outside interpretation, such as, I think Kenneth Branagh, when he played Iago, he approached it as if Iago had feelings for Othello, and so his deep rooted hatred came out of inner conflict over his attraction.
Like he was spurned somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Iago's a harder character to nail down, but I think there's a certain amount of spite to what he does in the play.
Yeah. Well, I when I was researching this, one thing that I didn't realize was like a thing was building homes out of spite. Apparently, like if you just search the word spite on Google, within at least two or three pages, you'll find galleries of homes that were built in spite of their neighbors. And I didn't realize this was a thing. It's like people are purposely building homes to annoy their neighbors that aren't necessarily practical or functional homes that they themselves enjoy living in.
Are you talking just like mildly so? Because you're always hearing about like, oh, they're building a modern home and it's out of keeping with the traditional homes in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think it's more along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then you also see those stories like the guy in England who had a giant shark like embedded in the roof of his house.
I'm sure that would fall under this. I'm thinking along the lines of like that house in Beetlejuice, the weird like postmodern art house that they had there. But in that case, there was no neighborhood. In this, I think it would be like, your next door neighbors would hate you because it would bring down the property values or something like that. But this is apparently like I found multiple galleries of this. So apparently it's a phenomenon.
It brings to mind, I can't remember the character's name offhand, but the individual that Kevin Spacey portrayed in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
I have never seen that.
Ah.
My wife loves that movie, but I still haven't seen it.
I remember it being good, but a New Orleans resident. And if I remember correctly, the individual he plays is kind of an eccentric kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
And they were filming some sort of historical piece in his neighborhood.
Okay.
And they like covered the streets in dirt and, their horses standing around or whatever. And it's kind of a big inconvenience for everybody. And they were going to be shooting potentially with his house in the background because it's one of these nice old homes. And so he just draped a large Nazi flag, swastika and all, right there on the front porch out of spite. You're going to film this neighborhood and film my house as the backdrop. Well, I'm going to do this, which makes it completely useless for your shoot, and also
it also brands
me
as a Nazi to all of my neighbors.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean that could work for sure. Let's get into where this saying of, because when we think of spite, it's always that phrase, to cut your nose off to spite your face. So let's think of like where this came from. Where is this?
Well, it apparently dates back to at least around the 12th century, and it's generally attributed to pious women who are disfiguring themselves in order to protect their virginity against pirates, Vikings, invading armies, etc. Basically, just to try and disfigure themselves so that they will be looked over when the assaults begin.
Yeah, I read a little bit about this. This was not something I knew about before researching this episode. These were mostly women, and this is a common phrase you'll hear me say during medieval times, were so religious that they wanted to preserve their virginity, right? And the idea, this isn't, when we're talking disfiguring, it's not just like, they give themselves a scar. They were cutting off their own noses, literally cutting off their nose, cutting off their cheeks, cutting off their upper lips. Some of these people actually ended up becoming saints, in some sense. So Saint Ebba was one that I found, who inspired nuns to cut off their own noses and upper lips to prevent themselves from being raped. And there were a couple others in there as well. But yeah, that is a practice that I was unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I was also reading that it also might be linked to medieval acts of spite in which the nose is cut off as a kind of punishment. And sadly, you see this kind of thing continue in the world today.
Right.
In some of the, war-torn regions of the world where women are particularly victimized by having their nose cut off.
Right. The mutilation is sort of a marking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as graphic as that is, though, remember that, because later in the episode, we will start to discuss the links between spite and punishment in a lawful system.
Yeah, it seems like there's a connection between those things and then altruism as well. It's like it's like this coin where you've got spite on one side and altruism on the other, and it seems like they're connected in human psychology. So it turns out that there were a lot of studies, at least four that we found for this episode on spite and sort of its origins and how it works within human beings and animals too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's apparently, many researchers consider it to be an understudied area, but we were able to find some interesting papers about spite and where it comes from and what it means. The most basic place to start, of course, would be just to ask, are humans the only spiteful creatures? Is spite possible in any other animal on
the
planet?
Right, and I would think any cat owner would assume that the answer is no, right?
Well, yeah, you would. Certainly cats seem to do a lot of things out of spite.
My cat does.
Oh, yes. Mine does as well. But of course, anytime you're dealing with human interactions, like how much are we projecting on them, right?
We're
just anthropomorphizing their, because, they're basically just doing a bunch of stupid stuff. And then we just assume, oh, well, you did that to spite me. Why did you get crap on the wall?
This is
why
we like
box?
Watching videos of them on the internet so much, is because they remind us of our own frailties.
Yeah. Sadly, the research we're looking at doesn't look at the spiteful cat.
Okay.
That would have, I would like to read a study looking at spite in felines, but in particular, this one's a 2006 study conducted at the Wolfgang Kohler Primate Research Center in Leipzig, Germany, by Max Planck Institute researchers. And they're looking at chimpanzees, which, of course, is a great place to look because
you want to look at the closest model. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Before we get into what they found, let's describe the methodology here, because it's a little, I think it's a little complicated, right? So, Dr. Keith Jensen and his team, they presented the chimps that they had in captivity with this choice. By the way, this all sounds like an origin film for Planet of the Apes somehow. Like it was a little scary. They gave them the choice to pull one of two ropes. And by pulling these ropes, they would either deliver food to another chimpanzee or deliver it to an empty room. And I'm assuming, too, that like all of the chimpanzees involved in this can see one another and see these empty rooms. In either case, the chimpanzee pulling the rope did not receive any food themselves, right? So
right.
They didn't get food themselves even though they were hungry. So they had a choice to either give the food to the other chimp or send it to an empty room as a spiteful action towards the other chimp.
Yeah, and the chimp wants food. It's a hungry chimp. You know?
Yeah.
So you can imagine yourself in a similar scenario. If you had your most favorite meal in the world, let's say it's, I don't know, a deep dish pizza.
Okay.
And it's right there behind the glass. Mm-hmm. You can't eat it. Mm-hmm. You can pull one rope and have it land on a plate for another hungry individual that you don't necessarily know, and they can eat it. Or out of spite, you can just deliver it to an empty room and watch it rot.
Yeah.
If I can't eat it, then that chimp is definitely not eating.
Right, and you both will sit there, mouths watering and hungry and sad.
Yeah, I mean, this plays into the basic spite principle. If I can't have X, then nobody will have X, right?
So what happened?
Well, they were expecting to see some spite here.
Okay.
But in half the cases, the chimp didn't pull either of the ropes.
Yeah, that's interesting to me that they just decided to be inert, basically, not bother.
A quarter of the time they'd pull one rope, a quarter of the time they'd pull the other, but mostly they didn't even bother. They ended up not showing altruism by delivering the food to the hungry chimp, and they also didn't show spite by delivering it to the empty room.
So they just didn't care.
Yeah.
What would you do in this scenario?
I don't think I'm so against food wasting. I think if I couldn't have it, I would want it to go to that individual. I have a hard time imagining a situation where I'd send the food to an empty room.
Yeah, not to make myself sound like a pious person, because I'm certainly not, but I would do the same thing. I would rather see the other person eat it. And almost like on some level, I think that there's a biological satisfaction there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not able to eat it?
Well, everyone always throws out the whole time travel, the ludicrous time travel thing. Would you go back in time to murder Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, there's so many problems with that question.
Yeah.
But let's put Hitler in this. So,
okay.
The deep dish pizza, is Hitler in the room, and then there's an empty room. Do you you can't eat the pizza. Do you send it to Hitler and let him eat it, or does it go to the empty room out of spite?
Yeah, I'd still give Hitler a pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, despite what he... You know, horrible atrocities he's done. Guy deserves to eat.
Yeah, we waste enough food in this country.
Right. Yeah.
Let him eat the pizza, and we'll worry about the other concerns later. So yeah, and this. But the interesting thing about this study is that not only does it cast light on spite as this particularly human emotion, but it also makes us consider altruism, which
right.
which likewise is a trait that's largely attributed to humans. Now, granted, there are some strong cases to be made for altruism in species such as the dolphin, but we can only be certain about ourselves. We are altruistic. We do a lot to help other people. But we're also spiteful. So there seems to be this definite connection between the two.
Yeah, it certainly seems like a very human practice. Again, like the two sides of the altruism spite coin. I mean, I'm sure that there are many pet owners out there right now that are thinking, well, I've had moments where I've been sad or angry or whatever, and my pet has come over and given me attention. And whether they were or not, you know, it felt like they were doing this out of altruism too, because they didn't want their owner to be sad. They wanted to make them happier.
Yeah, and of course there have been plenty of studies that, or at least, you know, there are plenty of arguments out there that break down altruism and say, well, is anything really altruistic? Are you ever really doing anything solely for the good of doing it, or are you at the very least doing it to make yourself feel better?
Right, there must be some subjective objective at hand.
And the more you think about altruism and spite and then look back on the Dungeons & Dragons alignment chart.
Yeah.
It does seem, you know, certainly you can say lawful evil is where most of your really spiteful behavior would go.
Right.
But realistically, you're probably going to see spite pop up in any given alignment, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. The D&D chart is always just like a silly way to kind of try to frame the world into an easily, into nine easy to understand philosophies of life. But yeah, I can imagine that there's scenarios in which Gandhi probably felt spiteful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have an off day.
If Gandhi's in a room and you're in a room and there's a pizza and you can pull it with a rope, do you give it to Gandhi or do you let it fall into the empty room?
How was Gandhi? Is he fasting in this particular scenario? Because then I'd feel like a real jerk if I sent a pizza to him.
Yeah,
I would need to send it to the empty room as much as that would.
But I think that it would show his resolve if you sent it to him and he still didn't eat it.
Okay, so we're helping him to make his statement. Okay, well maybe.
So that leads us to this study that was done on the different types of personalities and how they interact with spite, right?
Yeah, definitely. And they did not use the Dungeons and Dragons alignment chart, but
that's unfortunate.
But they did look at a number of individuals and try and figure out what type of personalities are going to contain the most spite. So this research was conducted by researchers from Washington State University and the University of British Columbia. And they attempted to measure spitefulness with a test similar to those used for personality traits.
Right, and they came up with like a scale, right? Like how they actually surveyed. So one thing I think is interesting about this is my experience from going to graduate school makes me critical of almost every study. Like they very much hammered it into our heads that like any study you're presented with, find holes in it and immediately take it apart. And the thing that first struck me about this was that the people that they surveyed were all at universities.
Yeah, this is a problem we discussed in an episode from earlier this year about your studies. It's so often you're inevitably dealing with a bunch of waspy college students in these scenarios.
Yeah, right? they're all what this tells us is how spiteful academics and their students are, not necessarily what the world is.
Right.
It's not a general population example here, but they developed this spitefulness scale. They surveyed, 1,200 people at two different universities? And it was online, right?
Yeah.
So they were able to get some older participants in as well.
Yeah,
so
maybe try and bounce it out a bit.
Yeah. Maybe those people weren't involved with the university.
And using this scale, they graded them how much they agreed with 17 different scenarios, such as, if my neighbor complained that I was playing my music too loud, then I might turn the music up even louder just to irritate him or her, even if it meant I could get fined. So this is actually another great spiteful
example.
This is
a real world example that I can relate to. Being the neighbor in this situation.
Oh, yeah? The loud neighbor or the thoughtful neighbor?
Well, I wouldn't call myself either, but when I very first moved to Atlanta, there was a person who lived directly below me that played very, very loud dance music all night. It was, I think maybe a week went by and my wife and I were like, all right, this is a little bit much. We thought maybe it was like a one-night thing. My wife went downstairs, knocked on the door to ask this guy if he would turn the music down, and he told his dog to sick her.
Ah.
Yeah. And luckily, my wife is good with animals, so the dog just kind of jumped up and she pet it.
But, I thought maybe she snapped its neck. But, you know.
My wife is also a lethal assassin. but yeah, I mean, this guy was definitely playing his music at us out of spite. I mean, even after she had asked.
So
it
did
to,
then you turn going. Up your music to make his music less enjoyable?
I have to admit that there, yes, this was, okay, here we go. This okay. is one of my moments where I was spiteful. Yeah. At the time, I was playing, because we had just moved here, I was playing all of my music through a 4x12 guitar amp that I had, which is very loud. And yeah, I cranked it up.
Yeah. All right. And another one on the list, just to give another example. I would rather no one get extra credit in a class if it meant that others would receive more credit than me.
That one's strange to me.
Yeah. Like that one I feel like, because the other example is more like, if you push me, I'm going to push back, right?
Right.
Even if we
yeah.
end up both miserable. Like if I would rather us both be miserable than just me be miserable. Like that one I can, yeah. I can see. This one is more like if I refuse to lose. And, yeah. and I don't care what the cost is.
It's that competition thing again,
yeah.
for sure. Yeah. Hmm. Well, so the results of this test weren't particularly shocking, were they?
No.
Like they compared it to other personality tests that marked things like aggression, psychopathy, narcissism, self-consciousness, self-esteem. And this one I found interesting, Machiavellianism.
Yeah.
So how do you measure Machiavellianism is one thing I'd like to learn more about. But what surprised me about it as well is that if you are Machiavellian, aren't you by nature inherently manipulating, planning so that you see benefit, so that you win?
Well, to go back to Game of Thrones a little bit, Littlefinger,
you know, okay.
very Machiavellian.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he ever spiteful? Does he ever do things out of spite? Does he ever include a little spite bonus item in his actions?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question. And I don't want to get into too much spoiler territory for people, although, mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere at this point. But I can't really think of a particular example, can you?
Not offhand. It seems like...
He's a chess player, that's for sure.
It seems like maybe there's some unintentional spite at
yeah.
times. Like, spite is just kind of a byproduct. Like, I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to play the long game
yeah.
to get what I want.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose... when I win, but how much he doesn't necessarily seem to go out of his way to add extra hurt icing on top of what he does, which is a compliment in the Game of Thrones world.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go into this for a second. Spoilers for Game of Thrones season one and the first book. So when he, you know, makes his whole, move for power mm-hmm. in that first season, he gets Ned Stark killed. And even though that wasn't his intention, he was spiteful towards Ned Stark because Ned Stark married the woman he wanted to be married to.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So it didn't hurt him though. So I don't know that it was spite. He won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it spite.
Yeah, I don't think it was spite.
But. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I'm sure somebody out there will have an example for us of Littlefinger's spitefulness. I real side note here. I love over at IO9, they have this theory that all of Game of Thrones is just a chess game between Littlefinger and Varys, and that it's just all about their Machiavellian moves against one another. So,
okay.
So if there is spite in either of their stories, it would somehow impact the others.
Now, coming back to this this study, just to throw out where the spite seemed to pool in the study, they saw most spite in people among people who scored high in psychopathy.
Okay,
those who were particularly callous, unsympathetic, unemotional, and they saw spitefulness was also greater in people who scored high in narcissism and Machiavellianism. So,
So that's also interesting to think about because. If they're unemotional, mm-hmm. Then what pleasure are they getting out of the spiteful action?
Hmm. You know, I wonder if it's people who are like pure, like maybe we get into kind of a false model with some of these fictional Machiavellian individuals. Like maybe nobody's really that Machiavellian, and it's
yeah.
more about I'm spiteful, and if I think about my own spite in a Machiavellian sense, then I'm not being spiteful. Like you're just you're going to lose against me, and you're going to pay the consequences of that. But spite is not the spearhead of it on my motivation.
It's not the fuel for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible.
Now, people with lots of guilt scored low.
Okay.
But those with shame scored higher. So that's interesting to make that distinction because if you're guilty, you did something bad. But if you're shameful, you are bad. In terms of how we think about guilt and shame.
Yeah, and this is also the study where they first came up with the conclusion that men score higher on the spite scale than women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like how it was phrased here, the dark triad of psychopathy, narcissism, and Machiavellianism.
Yeah, the dark triad. So that even though they weren't exactly using the Dungeons & Dragons alignment system, they ended up using language that made me think of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also children, well, this was another thing that they found in this study. Children will often pick up on a situation that invites spite, but they won't necessarily act on it, right? But they realize what's going on when they have the opportunity for it. And yet at the same time, they found that older people are less likely to be spiteful than younger people.
Hmm. So on the children's side of it, I imagine... a lot of it is that you have to learn that spiteful behavior. Like it's one thing to recognize, well, this isn't fair what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then to get to that point where you can act out spitefully because of it.
Yeah.
That's something you have to pick up.
So, this has no basis in the studies that we read for today's episode, but I'm thinking here that it's possible that spite and maybe also altruism are learned behaviors that have to be modeled, right? And that is why human beings are more likely to have them than chimpanzees, for instance. The chimps don't have models that are showing them how to be spiteful. Maybe if you showed those chimpanzees the spiteful action of withholding a pizza from Hitler and then laughed about it with them a couple times, then they would do it. They would be more likely to do it.
Yeah, and as we'll discuss in the next section, it seems that altruism and spite kind of emerge from a sufficiently complex system.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that maybe it's just a situation where a chimpanzee intelligence and culture has just not reached the level to where spite and altruism emerge to do battle with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I say let's avoid the Planet of the Apes scenario. I don't want a, you know, or rather the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes scenario. Not the first one with Charlton Heston, but the more recent ones. You know, I don't want to teach these animals our failings.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to see them ride around on horses either.
No, or shoot me.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, so the next bit of research we looked at, this came from Patrick Forber of Tufts University and Roy Smead of Northeastern, and they applied game theory to the study of spite, designing a computer model of virtual players challenging each other to a single round of the ultimatum game.
Okay, well, as somebody who has played MMORPGs before, or really any online gaming system, I'm going to imagine that they found that spite was pretty heavily dominant within a gaming community.
Are there spiteful gamers?
Oh god, it feels like it when you're playing it. Yeah. The people who, I don't forget what it's called. It's like they jump up and down on your corpse after they've killed you.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
I guess that's not spiteful. They're not hurting themselves. But yeah, people will certainly do like a
Well, that's the thing about anything online, right? Is you have a lot of room to be spiteful without having to pay the cost of the spite.
Right? That is absolutely true, right? Yeah. So that's probably something we should keep in mind with the results of this study.
Another spiteful gaming thing, I guess, rage quitting is probably a spiteful behavior.
Yes, you know, I've seen that.
Refusing to lose gracefully. I'm going to just leave the game. You don't get the, like, the point or whatever for your victory.
Yeah.
But I don't have to sit here and watch you, you know, victorious over me.
Yeah, the classic, do you know who Leroy Jenkins is?
Oh, wait, I've heard the name.
So there is this. This is a nerdy World of Warcraft thing from probably the mid-2000s. Uh-huh. He was he was made famous for this thing. Somebody recorded it. You can find it on YouTube. His name was Leroy Jenkins. He was part of a raid group that was playing World of Warcraft. And rather than, you know, let his team win, he ran in and purposely sabotaged the team's efforts to conquer this dungeon and got them all killed, and is known for yelling out his name as he did it. He says, Leroy Jenkins, and runs into this thing and kills everybody, and you can hear all these guys over their little headsets getting angry at him for ruining their game.
All right, well, that's pretty spectacularly spiteful.
Yeah, the Leroy Jenkins spite model.
So, ultimatum game. The way this plays out, according to the rules, player A decides how a pot of money is going to be shared with player B.
Okay.
Half and half. Say 80% for A and 20% for B. If B consented to the split, both received the agreed upon portion. But if B rejected the offer, neither player received anything.
Okay. So I could say 99% goes to me and 1% goes to you. And you would get that 1% if you agreed to it, or you would get nothing. And
yeah.
I would get nothing if you did not agree to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a test of sort of ego, but also trust. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so after they carried out this game, the researchers then allowed the players to form into mock societies. And this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this is like Model UN here.
Yeah, so the different sort of type individuals, you know, assembling into these groups. Groups that work full of excessively spiteful or selfish players quickly collapse. So you just have like a bunch of like the worst, gamers in the world, imagine trying to run a society together. It just completely falls apart because there's no structure there. Everybody's a massive jerk.
Yeah, it's like a trolling community.
Yeah, the trolling community is just going to be like cannibalism and madness within an hour, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Likewise, you would have these rigidly fair-minded societies, and these work okay until you end up with one selfish invader, and they just tear the whole thing apart.
Really? Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So just one person, one or two, can destabilize the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You have, you know, one Morlock wanders in to your peaceful village and just rips everything to shreds, falls apart.
Okay. All right. And then they found that flexible sharers, though, right? They were able to coexist with spiteful people?
Yeah, this is where we see this interesting balance of altruism and spite. Because the presence of spiteful individuals actually enhanced the rate of fair exchanges among the non-spiteful. So they kind of end up balancing each other out.
Yeah, so just the fact... But this requires your, you know, community of people to be what we call flexible sharers here, mm-hmm. right? By there being spiteful people there, it inherently teaches them to be more altruistic. So again, this is like modeled behavior, even if it's like almost like a reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Patrick Forber, in the study, he said, it could be that Nietzsche was right about punishment, that it originated as spite and only later was turned into a mechanism for maintaining fairness and justice.
Mm-hmm. This podcast is not the place for us to dive deep into this, but it also reminds me of the punishment theories of Michel Foucault, mm-hmm. Which I believe, you know, he was influenced by Nietzsche in that respect. So, yeah, punishment and altruism are all connected together.
Yeah, I mean, it really gets into the question of what is a punishment for a crime? Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to just actually just drive home some sort of spiteful punishment into the individual? Are you trying to make a corrective action on society, make an example,
deterrence.
Help that person? Yeah, is it a deterrence? Is it punishment? Is it rehabilitation?
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever it is now, what did it evolve from?
Yeah, yeah, rehabilitation would be seen as the altruistic version of that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whereas just pure punishment would be more on the spiteful end.
Mm-hmm.
And the authors of that study also pointed out that this would make sense too, this balance that ends up being maintained, because it's not only the lawful individuals in the society, the good people, non-cheaters, that are going to contribute to the rule of law, but the cheaters are also going to, because the rule breakers also have a vested interest in punishing other rule breakers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like the whole scenario when you have, gangsters take over a neighborhood in some sort of, you know, like a Godfather type scenario. They're going to cut down on the crime in their turf so that they can carry out their crime.
Yeah. I remember reading that in one of these articles. Mm-hmm. That was their example, was that like the mafia is known for protecting the neighborhood at the same time that it's criminalizing it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So there's two researchers involved in this study, D.B. Krupp and Peter Taylor. And it looks like what they did was they developed a new theoretical model of spite, like how we understand spite, right? And how individuals enact it.
Yeah, and their key findings were that, first of all, individuals who appear very different from most others in a group will evolve to be altruistic towards similar partners and only slightly spiteful to those who are dissimilar to them. So
we're talking about like an outsider scenario here.
Yeah,
right?
Like I instantly think of like a high school, junior high scenario, you know? So it's like you have the cool kids and the jock kids and the kids mm-hmm. who fit into larger, more accepted groups.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have, you know, the geekier crew, you know?
Right.
That I was definitely a part of.
Me too.
So in this scenario, me and you at the geeky table, we're going to have a lot of altruism towards each other.
Right.
And we're
going
to have maybe a little bit of spite towards the folks at the jock table, mm-hmm. but not a lot. We're not going out of our way to, put things in their lunch trays or whatever.
Well, what I find fascinating about this aspect of the study, and there's more to it, is it sort of debunks common thinking psychology about incidents like the Columbine shootings, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea that they were spiteful. They were outsiders who were enacting their spite upon the community that they felt like they didn't belong to.
Right.
So the second part might play into that a little more.
Yeah, the second part is that individuals who appear very similar to the rest of the group, in other words, the people at the jock table, et cetera, the main population members, they will evolve to be only slightly altruistic to similar partners, but very spiteful to dissimilar individuals. And they may even go out of their way to hurt them. So in this scenario...
So that explains all the times that I got beat up in high school?
That would fall under this because you have the main population is going to go out of their way to be spiteful and even hurt individuals that look out of place.
Okay.
But on the other side, they're only being marginally altruistic to even their own kind.
Yeah. That's interesting. So this seems to connect to that sort of basic psychological understanding of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know what I'm talking about? That like pyramid of there are various needs that we as human beings have to fulfill before we can sort of get to a point of self-actualization, right? And this seems very connected to the Maslow's idea of belonging, right? That like if you feel like you belong to a group and that group is an outsider group, then you're more likely to care for them, to be altruistic to them. But if your group is, if you belong to a group that is, I guess, more or less popularized, you're less likely to feel that way.
Yeah, and I could also see where there's more of a necessity for that altruism in that outsider group because you need each other more.
Right,
for survival.
It's a survival tactic.
Yeah, whereas if you're just one of the larger dominant power structure, you know, what it's just not as necessary. It's more spread out even, I guess.
So it certainly, you know, by the way, I didn't get beat up that much in high school, but I remarked that it explains schoolyard bullying, which we have down here, but it also explains things like racism and prejudice, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you can take this study and apply it to just about any scenario where one group is being spiteful to another smaller group, or even look at, you know, some of your examples of just really altruistic individuals and their potential outsider status, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about it. Like, who's weirder on the street? The guy who's walking around just being really nice to everybody or the guy who's walking around scowling? Like, sadly, we often think it's the nice individual. Like, what's going on with that person? What's their game?
Yeah.
The dude that's just being spiteful, you know, he's just another grumpy individual walking around the city.
All right. So things I've learned about myself in this episode are that even though I'm the guy in the street scowling, I'm more likely to give a pizza to somebody if I won't get a pizza myself.
Right. Provided they seem to be a member of your group.
Yeah.
And are not Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
Or no,
well,
you would give it that.
I'd still give Hitler a pizza, Yeah, but I'd be more likely to give, you know, one of our listeners a pizza.
Yeah, this research really had me pausing to think a lot about my actions and some of the things that I've done that I can look back on and say, well, there's a bit of spite in doing that. Or at times I'll catch myself engaging in sort of fantasy spite, you know, where I imagine myself being spiteful, but I don't actually do it because the cost is too high. You know, I would look like a jerk or I would just feel like a massive jerk if I did that. And I can get the same sort of momentary satisfaction by just imagining that I did it.
That makes it a uniquely human thing as well, probably, right?
Yeah.
That we can vicariously, live out the pleasure of spite in our imaginations.
Yeah, like to go back to that chimp scenario. If we're in that, you know, we can sit there and we could think to ourselves, you know, Hitler, I could just send that pizza to an empty room and you would totally deserve it. But me, I'm a really nice guy and I'm going to send you that pizza anyway. And then you high five yourself and you walk off and probably buy pizza somewhere.
Well, so I want to know, you know, this obviously brought up some issues for both of us, thinking about how we've been spiteful in the past or maybe altruistic as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, from our listeners, you know, do you feel that these studies line up with your experiences of spite in your life or possibly altruism? Would you give Hitler the pizza? Or Gandhi for that matter?
Yeah.
Let us know. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr, and we're Blow the Mind on all those platforms. Or you can reach out to us on the Mothership, which is stufftoblowyourmind.com.
That's right. You'll find all the podcast episodes there, all the blog posts, all the videos, links out to social media accounts, you name it.
And Please let us know about your experiences with spite and whether they lined up with what we talked about today by writing to us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.